takes a piece of clay, molds it in his hand, a vessel of honor he's trying to make, one that will understand. He's not here for his own purpose, but the Father's plan. How I long to be that vessel that's yielded in his hand. Take this piece of clay, mold me in your way. A vessel of honor is what I long to be. Take this piece of clay. To shape and mold my life, to make me so completely like the Lord Jesus Christ. Only the clay that's yielded to the Master's hand will be an effective vessel in the Master's plan. Take this piece of clay, mold me in your way. A vessel of honor is what I long to be.
Some really outstanding sermons. I got a call yesterday from somewhere, I don't even know what state it was in, and they had picked up his sermon from 2 or 3 weeks ago when he preached about hell and the facts concerning hell, and they were just overwhelmed with the information and how that message has blessed them. You know, we are living in the closing hour, and it's either now or never. It really is. It's either now or never. If people don't get right with God, they're fixing to miss that rapture at the very least. And, of course, if they miss that the rapture and go into the tribulation and they don't pay the price of living right in the middle of hell, then they're going to miss heaven. And I'm just overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed at the multitude that are paying no attention to the great truth of God's Bible. I'm overwhelmed how few preachers are preaching about the coming of the Lord. It's overwhelming. And you hear about false doctrines. That's not no worse than no doctrine. How many churches don't have any doctrine about the coming of the Lord? And yeah, there's some crazy ones out there. Oh, there really are. Well, the Bible is powerful. And I want to preach this morning on a very simple thought, living in the realm of the supernatural. Living in the realm of the supernatural. Before I finish, I will talk a little bit about being born again. And I want to talk about the born again life versus the born again experience. Now, many people who've had a born again experience, but it was a long time ago. They've left their first love way back there. And so they still talk about the experience and think they're okay with that experience. But I want to tell you, the Bible message of born again is a born again life. It's a born again life. I hope you'll get that. I'll add to that. But let me read to you. Open your Bible to the book of Romans chapter 4. And we'll start with verse 16. I'm going to read one verse. I'm going to let you be seated. And then I'm going to read and preach a little bit while I'm reading. I don't read texts easy. Just read them and, you know, get through them and go to my sermon. This text is my sermon, okay? Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. I like that. Not to that which only which is of the law, that's the Jewish people, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now notice that. He said, therefore it is of faith. This Christian life is a life of faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith, that it might be by grace. He said to the end that all the seed, including the Jews who keep the law or knew the law, and all of the others of the family of Abraham, which includes everybody. Abraham is the father of faith. We are all to live by faith. Now, you may be seated. Keep your Bible open. Stay right where you are in your Bible. And let's go to verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. He's quoted in an Old Testament passage concerning Abraham. As it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead. Now listen to this. Who causeth and calleth those things which be not as though they were, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now that is the most beautiful picture of faith you can find in the Holy Writ. Calleth those things which be not as though they were. That's faith. That's faith. And he's identifying it. And it's powerful. That's God. That became Abraham. Abraham, being the father of faith, came to have the faith of God. And he called things that were not as though they were. He didn't just ask for things which were not. He called them as though they were. Beautiful passage. 18. Who against hope believed in hope. Against hope. That means he was in a hopeless situation. But he wouldn't quit hoping. Did you hear that? He was in a hopeless situation. But he wouldn't quit hoping. I mean, everything that was hopeless, he just called it hope. Kept on trudging. Kept on going. Kept on maneuvering. Kept on believing. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now, Look at that word spoken. Do you understand that Abraham lived 400 plus years before the first five books of the Bible were written? He wasn't speaking of the Bible because he had no Bible except the Bible that came by the Spirit into his conscience and his mind and his heart. And his confidence in the moving of Christ in his life, the Word of God given to him, was more powerful than we are able to make the written Word in our day. That gives you some idea of how the faith of Abraham was so great, extended so far beyond the human experience, was so big and gracious and wonderful that Abraham could believe what God has spoken, even though he had no page in which it was written on, and nothing to remind him in his hand as he would every day wait before God. Now listen, these words are just mighty powerful to me. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Now, he was only 100 years old, and he wasn't dead in essence as we think of death, but he was dead in the fact that his body was worn out. His body was worn out. I like that, don't you? Who against hope believed in hope, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. She was 90-something, maybe 94, 96. You study different opinions. And he's 100. And God's promised him an heir, a son of his own body, a son of his own Sarah. God promised him a son, and the son had not yet been born, and Abraham is still waiting on that son that God was going to give him through Sarah, his 94, 95, 96-year-old darling wife. What a picture. I'd say that was pretty much faith, wouldn't you? How many of you would say that was faith? Would you say it was faith that he could believe God to give him a son of Sarah when he was 100? And when he was 100, she was 90-some. Oh, but he believed God. You see, God has spoken. So if God speaks, you can't change it. And you can't doubt it. And you can't fear it. You just got to believe it. Oh, I wish we'd come to that. I wish we'd get there. Wouldn't we be something if we could do that? If we would just come to that kind of faith. Now listen, can't quit. Being not weak in faith, verse 20, he staggered. You know, I'm finding myself staggering sometime a little bit. And he was 20 years older than me. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Giving glory to God. I love that verse. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being, now are you reading? Are you staying with me? This is the right of the Holy Ghost. This is the right of the Spirit. This is God's infallible word. This is what God is saying, not Abraham. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, God that is, what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Hallelujah. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. I want to preach this morning on a very simple topic, living in the realm of the supernatural. Let me say something now. Don't forget this. It is as natural for God to be supernatural as it is natural for you to be natural. Your very person, your very being as a man or woman is natural. You can only do yourselves what the natural enables you to do. But God is supernatural. And it's just as natural for God to be supernatural as it is natural for you to be natural. Oh, you say, but Brother Chambers, I can only do the natural. That is in yourself. That is of your capacity. That is within your realm of abilities. That is in within the realm where you live. But you've been born again. You've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the whole salvation starts with a supernatural act. Being born again is supernatural. You can be religious until you are an example of religiosity and be as lost as you can be. But being born again is a transformation that is heavenly, that is divine, that is supernatural. He takes hold of you and turns you inside out. He makes a new person out of you. He makes a new person out of you. He brings you from the realm of the natural and plants you into the realm of the supernatural. And if you will walk with God, you will live in the realm of the supernatural. But very few do today. The realm of the supernatural is where this scripture is calling us to. I mean, against hope, he kept believing in hope. He staggered not at the promise of God. He would allow nothing to defer him from believing what God had said God would do. And he just trudged on and on. He became the father of faith. He is the father of both the Old Testament and he is the father of the New Testament. He's the father of faith. The Bible says that. And it's a breathtaking life. Now, I want to try to talk this morning about living in the realm of the supernatural. There's not a Christian in this building who cannot live in the realm of the supernatural. I stand here before you and declare in repentance. I stand to tell you I have not lived like I ought to have lived. I have not lived as fully. I'm not talking about sin now. I'm talking about the realm of faith. I'm telling you I have not lived in the realm of faith where I ought to have lived. And I've made up my mind I'm going to move beyond the natural into the realm of the supernatural and live there as I never have in my life. I've got to live in the realm of the supernatural. You got to understand that faith is living your life in the realm of the supernatural. That's what faith is. We don't need faith if we're just going to live a natural life. Faith is to live in the realm of the promises of the Bible. I'm not talking about some out of this world stuff. I'm not talking about crazy things. I'm just talking about the Bible. Living a Bible Christian life. Living it in the realm of the supernatural where God speaks and where God directs. Now I'm going to say something. I think this is right. If it's not, you correct me. This book by itself is nothing but a natural book. This book by itself can be studied and learned and not do a thing for you on the inside. This book can be studied like you would study a history book of the United States of America. This book can be read and seen and looked upon. It's just a great story. This book, I mean, as breathtaking as it is helpless until the Holy Ghost becomes a part of it. Are you listening to me now? Everybody look at me. Your Bible is a helpless book until you allow the Holy Ghost to become part of your Bible. Until you allow the Holy Ghost to put you in a new realm where you don't just read words and accept them. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And Jesus said that in John chapter 6. The letter killeth, But the Spirit giveth life. He was talking about the letter of the Bible. It kills until the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost can't get a hold of that book until it gets a hold of you. You hold just a natural book in your hands until the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you. And when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you and he takes you into the realm of the supernatural faith of the great promises of God, then the Holy Ghost takes the Bible that you feed into you, that you study, that you search, that you allow to live through you, and he turns it into a supernatural book. Somebody raise a hand and say hallelujah with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody raise a hand and say hallelujah twice, will you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible is a living book, but it can't come alive until the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you and the book together. See, if I could get you to quit reading the book, I'm going to read a chapter every day, you say. I just got to read the Bible through this year. And so you sit down every night and hurriedly you read however many chapters is necessary to get through with it in a year. That's good. I'm not against it. But I want to tell you what you do. You need to start taking that Bible and getting alone with God. And you need to open that Bible and take your time and begin to read. I know by experience. I've had several times in my life when I was preaching with all I had, preaching good sermons. Pouring myself out to other people. And all of a sudden, I felt as empty as a gourd. And I would get so hungry and so depressed and so under the load of the job I was performing and the time I was spending and the good things I was trying to do that I was empty and I was hungry. And every time it's ever happened, I remember the Holy Ghost stopping me all of a sudden, not even thinking about it. And he would say, your problem, you need the word for you. And all you've been doing is studying it for them. Getting up good sermons and giving to the brothers and the sisters and the saints and preaching. And I don't preach without preaching with all my heart. I don't ever remember preaching a sermon that I didn't put everything I had in it. I really don't. I put all I got in it. And I can preach like that. And I enjoy preaching like that. I'm not the best. I just do the best I can. But I want to tell you something. When I get hungry, I realize I don't need a sermon for Brother Charles. I need a sermon for Brother Chambers. And I'll go somewhere and hide and get my Bible and I'll dig in for me. Every time I see a sermon, I know your name. Jackie, every time I see a sermon, I just put it over to the side and keep on trucking. And I just read for me. And I read for me. And you know, I've never done that. That something don't happen in me that turns me upside down. Oh, sir. Woo! Hallelujah. How many times can I remember when the Bible just began to talk to my soul and began to feed me? And I'm telling you, the Bible is more exciting than any movie Hollywood ever made. The Bible is more exciting than any ball game you ever been to. The Bible is more exciting than anything you ever seen in your life. When you get in it with the Holy Ghost, you're going to have a picnic, friend. You're going to have a good time, friend. Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah. But see, I'll guarantee you, 60% of this congregation, I'm guessing, has never sat down and read the Bible until the Holy Ghost fell on you. And you began to read in the Holy Ghost. You've been there a lot of times, haven't you, brother? I hear you preach and tell that man's been reading the Bible until the Bible straightened him out. See, the Bible will straighten you out, then you can straighten me out. That's the Bible. We got to have that word. We got to have that word. And I'm trying to get through to you because I want you to understand. I want to talk a little bit. I want you to listen to me now. I want to know, where does faith come from? You can tell that I'm talking about a faith that is really something special. How many can tell that? I'm talking about a faith that connects you into the realm of the supernatural. I'm talking about a faith that is as truly connects you to the supernatural God as the connection between you and your sweetheart wife or husband. It's the most breathtaking thing, how that faith gets you right in the realm of God. And you begin to get a hold of God's hand, and you begin to shout and praise Him and love Him. Hallelujah. Many of a time, I've shouted out as loud as I could shout all by myself, because the Bible was turning my soul upside down. So faith, the whole purpose of faith, you don't even have faith until it connects you to God. You may have faith in yourself. You may have faith in your brain. You may have faith in your learning. You may have faith in the scriptures you memorized. You may have faith in all kinds of little things, important things. But you are living in the natural until the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you and you get to living in faith. I'm telling you this morning, the Holy Ghost wants to take this church wide, all of us, and move us into a realm of living in faith and living by faith with our hands in the hands of the one who hung the stars in their place, and our hand in the hand of the one who made heaven and earth, and start living a life of absolute faith. Woo! There is no impossibilities to faith. The only impossibilities of faith is the extent of the Bible. That's the only impossibilities of faith. If you get beyond the Word, your own imagination, faith leaves you. That's natural stuff. But as long as you live in that Bible, you can live in faith. And every promise in that Bible is yours, or your God has told you a lie, and your God don't lie. Every promise in that Bible is yours. Or God is not a true God, and God is perfectly true. Are you listening to me? If you hear me, raise the right hand. Let me see if you're listening to me. I'm here to tell you that faith connects you to the supernatural. Now, how does faith come? Brother Chambers, you got me. You've intrigued me. I'm excited. I want this kind of faith. All right. Are you listening? It starts, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Say that with me, hearing by the Word of God. Then faith cometh by hearing. You get in this Bible, and you start living in it till the Holy Ghost sets it on fire in you, and you'll sense your faith beginning to grow. You'll sense your faith beginning to take hold of you. You'll sense a whole different attitude about everything that comes your way. When bad things happen, you'll just turn them over to God and keep on doing right. You see, right always prevails. Did you know that? Right prevails every time. Right cannot fail. I said right, biblical right, that which is truly right, cannot fail. So you've got to learn to live in your Bible. Matthew said it well. Jesus talking. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, I want somebody to say those last words with me. Every word. Come on, everybody. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. May hold your Bible just a moment. This Bible is the perfect word of the living God. From Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, it is God's will that you live in every page of that Bible. If you are born again, the whole Bible is your roadmap to heaven. The whole Bible is the food of your soul. If you're born again, the whole Bible is your assurance of tomorrow. If you're born again, the whole Bible takes your life and makes something beautiful and glorious out of it. So it comes by the Word of God. That's where faith starts. If you are not et up with the Bible, you cannot be et up with faith. It's just that simple. Am I coming through? Faith is the result of someone believing the whole Bible and taking it and feeding on it until it possesses them. Now, again, I got to go back. You've got to have that Bible. But you've got to let the Holy Ghost anoint that Bible. Somebody says, I don't understand the King James Version. And you never will until you know the King James author. That's God the Creator by the Holy Ghost. When you really get born again, I'll never forget, we was doing a program one Saturday, and we was talking about how do you understand the Bible. And people are coming against me, the King James Bible. I can't understand it. I've got to get me one of these new versions. And I was trying to tell them, listen to me, friend. The reason you don't understand it, you need to be born again. You don't know the author. Oh, if you know the author, you'll understand the language. You see, I got something unique on people. When I was saved at 16, I couldn't read. And they handed me a Bible and said, Joe, you need to read this Bible. Well, I was tongue-tied until they couldn't understand my talk. You know, I could talk, but I still didn't talk. My tongue had been clipped, but I would tell people, the doctor tipped my tongue, but still can't talk no better. I was terrible. When I told them I was called to preach, they laughed themselves silly. And I laughed back at them. I said, you'll find out. If God called me, he'll take care of the language. And you know, I still don't talk as plain as some folks, but I can talk plain enough that you know I'm from the South, can't I? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In fact, I tell Northerners all the time, if you'll come to the South, we'll teach you how to talk English. Our form, of course. But don't you understand something? That Bible, when you understand it, is the entire an absolute and perfect truth of God. And it is God talking to you. When you shut the Bible, you shut the mouth of God. Think about that. When you shut the Bible, you shut the mouth of God. And so that's the book you must live in. Now, the Holy Ghost is the author. Every word in the Bible was given to holy men, and they wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's what the Bible says, not me. Every verse in that Bible, every part of that Bible was written by the Holy Ghost. He come upon men. You understand, that book was written by many different authors over hundreds of years, and yet you cannot find one thing in that Bible that contradicts another thing. Don't try to tell me it contradicts itself. I know better. Hallelujah. Oh, it is written by the Holy Ghost. And so you get that Bible and you get it in you and you saturate yourself with it and you saturate yourself in it. And then you believe the Holy Ghost to take those great words and flood you and fill you and talk them to you. Oh, hallelujah. I can wake up in the night many times and the Holy Ghost is talking with the Word of God to me. How many have heard the Holy Ghost in the last week or two talking the Bible to you? Let me see your hand. Oh, it's a thrilling experience when the Holy Ghost begins to talk the Bible to you. So it comes by hearing and by the Holy Ghost. Now, why did Jude, you know, wrote the next to the last book in the Bible, right before Revelation. And Jude was the half-brother of Jesus. His brother, full brother, was James, who wrote right before him. And then Jude. And Jude wrote one book. And he looked out over the church world in his day. That was within maybe 30 years of Christ's crucifixion. And he said, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You see, praying in the Holy Ghost is an unknown tongue. It is the language of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And the reason when that man started trying to talk in tongues yesterday on the radio program, I knew it wasn't God, is because I know God's language. Oh, I don't know it like you would know English, but in my heart, I know it when I hear it. I know it. I'm identified with it. It's part of me. But I'm here to tell you, you've got to learn to get alone with God in prayer and pray until the Holy Ghost prays. You got to learn to get a hold of God, get in that Bible and soak yourself and saturate yourself and flood yourself until the Bible comes alive and you pray and talk to the Father while you hold His Word in your hand. And as the Word fills your head and fills your mind and the Holy Ghost saturates your temple and anoints you with His Spirit, I'm telling you, faith will take a hold of you. Woo! You'll start trusting God for things you've never trusted Him for. The average Christian in our churches doesn't know what it is to have a problem and just turn it over to God. They seek a worldly answer. They seek a worldly instruction. They seek a worldly helper. The church is full of them. The church is full of people that's always down in their heart and all broken up and all troubled by all the difficult. Some of you have got enough problems to drive somebody insane. I know that. I know how many problems there are in this world. But you let the faith, which is of the Holy Ghost, begin to move you and propel you. And every day of your life, you live that life of faith. Oh, remember now. Remember what he said. Remember what he said. He said, call in things that are not as though they were. Now, let's do something. How many of you got a problem you can think about right now? Got a problem. Raise your hand. Way up high. And we're going to have a little experience here. Keep them up there a minute. You know what your problem is. You're thinking about it. All right. Are you ready? Keep your hand up. There's an answer to your problem. There's an answer. I don't know it, Brother Chambers. Understand? He does. That's what I'm talking about. God knows the answer of every problem you've got if you're a child of God. If you've been born again, God knows everything about you. If you're really saved, God knows all you're dealing with. He knows your children. And I've got some that are breaking my heart. And he knows it. He knows everything about you. Now, let's do something. Let's call it an answer from God as though it is already done. I count my problem disappearing. I count it done. I count the answer. I'm healed. I'm touched by the Holy God. My child is touched by the Holy God. My finances are now under God's divine hand. All my troubles on the job are now in the Father's hand. I'm turning everything over to God, and I'm counting it done as though it was already done and finished. But by faith, I know God's doing it. Anybody help me? Anybody did it? Anybody put something in God's hand? Anybody gave it up? Now, don't you pick it up when you go out the door. The problem with most of us, we bring things to the altar and don't even get to the back door till we got it back on us. Turn it loose. Turn it loose. If anybody will turn something loose to God right now, I want you to stand up and say hallelujah and then sit back down. Stand up and say hallelujah and sit back down. Turn it over to God. Now, don't you stand up and sit down till you turn it over to God. I turn it over to God. It's his problem. It's not mine. I count it as though it's already done. Woo! Hallelujah. So, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's faith. Now, don't you stagger at unbelief. I know the devil will start whispering to you. You know, I remember. Let me tell you an experience. I don't tell many of them. I've had a lot of good ones. I don't tell many of them. We was on our way to Texas, to the General Assembly. This was 1964. We had stopped in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, to spend the night. Had a motel, in the motel room. I'd been suffering for weeks with a gallbladder attack. The doctor had identified it was gallbladder. I went to him and told him, I trust God. I don't want anything done. I don't want your medicine. I want you to just tell me what's wrong with me. And he did all the tests. He said, you've got a gallbladder in a mess, man. I said, well, I'm going to trust God. So we're going to Texas. We're in a hotel. I called Brother and Sister Black. That was a preacher and his wife. They're still living. And they came to the room. And Mother, I said, now, if you don't pray for me and get a miracle, then you get ready to turn around. We're going home. I cannot go to Texas like this. The Holy Ghost came on my head and went down through my body all the way to my toes. And that thing disappeared as sure as I was there in that motel room. It was gone. I was healed. And I still got it. The gallbladder, that is. Not the attack, okay? Still got it. It's in there. 64, that sounds like several years ago, you know. We went on to Texas. And we took a walk on the streets. And we were going to where John F. Kennedy had been assassinated. This was right after that had happened. And so we're walking down the street. And that thing hit me. I mean, like knocking me down in the sidewalk. And I said, now, wait a minute, devil. You're not going to bring the symptom of that thing back on me and make me think I still got that problem. So, devil, in the name of Jesus, I'm telling you to go and sell your wares somewhere else I'm not buying. And it disappeared. And it's never been back. Now, why are you telling us that? I'm telling you that God's never answered a prayer that the devil doesn't try to destroy. I'm telling you, God's never performed a miracle that the devil don't come back on you, against you, up against you to make you doubt. And the moment you doubt, he brings it right back in. So, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. That's exactly what I'm preaching. Just what happened to me. Well, when he got an answer from God, he didn't doubt it. And he staggered not at the promise of God. Woo, hallelujah. How many commit now? You're not going to stagger at the promise of God. It's in God's hands. It's in God's hands. Keep your hands off of it. Is it okay to say it plain? Keep your hands off of it. You put it in God's hands, so leave it alone. Oh, he's a God that answers prayer. Now, I got to go on a little further here. I got to talk about the born-again life. I never said what I'm going to say this morning like I'm going to say it. It just got a hold of me so profoundly. It's not a born-again experience. It's a born-again life. You see, there's a doctrine called once saved, always saved. It's a Baptist doctrine. It's a very foolish doctrine. It's actually insane. I could say a little plainer in country language, it's stupid. Why would you say once saved, always saved is stupid? Because nothing in your life is just stay and solid and never changes. If you get a job and you say to the boss man after you worked a few days, now I've got a job and I'm glad and I just don't feel like working. So would you just send my check every Friday to such and such address? Because I believe I got a job forever. And so I'm just going to trust I got a job and you send me my payday. That's exactly what people do to salvation. They think because they had an experience 10 years ago and they was wonderfully changed and wonderfully saved, now they don't even think about it. They live any way they please. But I'm still saved. I'm told that so many times every week and I have to answer kind and gentle, but I really don't want to. I want to say that's stupid. Because nothing about life is fixed. Everything you do is a matter of daily experience. If you were a lawyer, you wouldn't just tell them at the office to send your check. You'd go up there and earn your check. Not because that makes you a lawyer. You can work as a lawyer all day. It don't make you a lawyer unless you've had the proper training and you've had an experience of being accepted as a lawyer. It's kind of like salvation. You got to have a born-again experience. You got to be saved. But once you're saved, you got to live in it. You got to serve God in it. And it's a lifestyle, not just an experience. Am I making sense? Nothing is static. Nothing of life. You tell me any part of your life. How many of you can cook a meal on Monday night, and that meal lasts all the way to the next Monday night? Oh, I eat it up. Well, I had a good meal yesterday. I don't need to ever eat again because I've got eternal food. I've got eternal food. I'm full. Yeah, but I'll be empty by the night. I don't mean that good. You see, I'm trying to show you that saying I'm born again and I can never be lost is foolish because it has no kinship to nothing else in your life. If you don't live it, you're not going to keep it. If you don't walk in it, the Bible speaks in Revelation chapter 2 about leaving your first love. Somebody said, can you lose your first love? I said, no, but you can leave it. Are you with me? See, I'm talking about living this life in the supernatural realm. I remember people getting saved, and for weeks they would be so happy you'd have to almost hold their coattail to keep them from going up in the rapture. I've seen people saved so wonderfully, they'd live in that Bible, and oh, it was so wonderful, it was so grand, but all of a sudden something would get their attention. And they'd lose that first love, leave that first love. And they'd become as cold as they can be. There's somebody sitting here right now. You used to be so on fire, they could hardly hold you. You used to be so full of testimony that the pastor said, anybody got a testimony, you'd be the first on your feet. I mean, there's somebody here like this. I'm telling you in the name of the Lord. But you got a little bit cold and chilly. And you don't walk in it like you used to. And you don't enjoy it like you used to. And so now you are in a state of at least lost your first love. It's gone. You didn't lose it. You left it. Your first love. I'm telling you, the born-again experience is a life of living in this faith of which I'm talking about in Romans chapter 4. Hallelujah. Calling things that are not as though they were. Some weeks it gets rough living for Christ, but I know what God's going to take care of. He's going to take care of it, and tomorrow my joy will come back again. I know it's not always easy to face everything I face, but God's got it. I've been put it in God's hands. He's going to take care of it, and I'm going to trust him. Hallelujah. And you can say the same for sanctification, and you can say the same for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you can make everything about your life. And if you don't live it, it will dissipate, and you'll become as empty as a gourd. But if you'll live it, it'll just get bigger and bigger. Staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Notice what makes people stagger. What is it that makes people stagger? Unbelief. You'll never find a staggering Christian that if you'll talk to them and you'll get them to open up and you get them to look at themselves, they will easily take you to the place and show you where they left it. I'm not leaving mine. Hallelujah. 65 years starting on Wednesday, the month of March. 65 years I've known this blessed Redeemer. And I'm here to tell you, he's better, he's sweeter, he's more wonderful every day of my life. I'd rather be a Christian than anything I know. Hallelujah. And he's faithful. And he's my healer. You look at that sweet sister Chambers. Last Sunday morning, 1 week ago, last night, I thought she was gone. I saw the death all over her face. For 4 hours she had sat there, her chest exploding. Somebody says, why didn't you go to the hospital? I've been there before. And I know what happens when you get there and you have this kind of pain. They're going to put you through 7 tests. And if you aren't dead time you get there, you will probably be before you leave there. But about 2:30, the Holy God came through that house. And I said, Mom, the Lord just told me it's going to be all right. Hallelujah. And God laid his hand on her. And she went to sleep. And she was in church last Sunday night. And she's had joy all week. I'm here to tell you, God is faithful. He'll come through every time if you're willing to trust him. He'll come through every experience if you're willing to put it in his hands. If you're willing to take God at his word, he says he cannot lie. He has no respect of persons. He loves every one of you as good as he loves anybody else in this building. And God wants to take care of you. Marsha, hallelujah. God wants to take care of you. Stand up with me, will you please? Raise your hands and shout hallelujah for a moment, will you? Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. Visitors, you can shout with us. Hallelujah. Just praise him a little bit. Praise him a little bit, brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to depend upon him. I'm going to lean on him. I'm going to make him my life. Hear me, saith the Lord. I desire to be your heavenly Father. I desire to care for every need of your life. I brought you into my family that you may be one of my children. And my children have their bread fed to them and given to them, and they never have to worry as long as they trust me, saith the Lord. Moshe, and I praise him for it. Hallelujah. 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 Let's just praise the Lord a little bit, will you? Let's just praise the Lord a little bit. Let's just magnify Him and honor Him and love Him. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. Adrian, some of you, live in your life in the realm of the supernatural. Live in your life in the realm of the supernatural. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now listen to me. There's somebody in this building who has never been born again. You've never been born again. And you can hear from this sermon, it's a better life than you've ever lived in your flesh and in your natural. And you want to come to Christ. If you want to come to Jesus, I want you to walk out of your seat right where you are and come right down here. These saints of God are going to pray with you and pray for you and hold you up to God. And God will change your life. Is there anybody? Is anybody in the building? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Anybody will say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not saved, and so I need you to pray for me. Anybody? All right, don't see a hand. All right.
This whole world is filled with disappointment and trouble everywhere.
Raise your hand.
Many times I get discouraged. And I almost lose my way. Then I remember I'm just a pilgrim in this troubled world below. There's one thought that keeps me singing as I go. We're not home yet, children, so keep your eyes. Just a few more days to labor, then we'll sit down beside that river. How I long to be with Jesus and my loved ones gone before. There's a better day a-coming. We're not home yet. Just waiting for me. Someday Jesus will come and take me over the sea. So I'll keep watching and waiting in this troubled world below. There's one thought that keeps me singing as I go. Just a few more.